بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يعود بعض أهله يمسح بيده اليمنى ويقول: اللهم رب الناس أذهب البأس واشفي، أنت الشافي، لا شفاء إلا شفاءك، شفاء لا يغادر سقما. متفق عليه. This chapter which we are currently discussing deals with the du'as that are to be recited when visiting someone who is sick, or the person who is going through the sickness or affliction, what du'a he may recite. As we have greatly stressed that these ahadith should not just be listened to, but we should have this jazba and this zeal to learn these du'as. These are authentic ahadith. We find today, unfortunately, there is this, even those that want to practice, we tend to move away from the parameters of that which is authentic and established. We'll find, especially in this coming month of Ramadan, sometimes on social media, one buzurg said this, or one sheikh said this, or somebody said this, or recite so many of this surah and so many of that surah. And more often than not, we find that a lot of these things are not established from the authentic ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When there is such a wealth of authentic du'as that are there at our disposal, why we need to look outside that? Obviously, something that doesn't really make sense. We should try and practice on what is established, what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself or the companions ridwanullahi anhum ajma'in did. Nevertheless, coming back to this hadith, the narrator is Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She says that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would visit his family members, in other words, when they were sick, he would pass his right hand over them. This trying to establish some sort of physical contact. When you visit someone that is sick, place your hand on them, sit by the head side, etc. We find, based on the previous ahadith, this is a part of the etiquettes of visiting the sick. As by doing this, you will give the person some sort of comfort, some sort of reassurance. People, when they are sick, normally it's a very nazuk and a delicate time or period. So Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his right hand, he would pass it over the body of the sick person and he would recite this dua: Allahumma Rabban Nas, O Allah, you are the Rabb. Now this rububiyat of Allah, in this context, one of the meanings, Qazi Baydawi rahmatullah alayhi, great muhaddis, a great mufassir of the Quran, he explains this term Rabb. He says, who is Rabb? Rabb is that Zat and that being that took you from Adam to Wujud. From non-existence, he brought you into existence. Rabban Nas, O Allah, you are the Rabb. You are the sustainer, the nourisher, the provider, the creator of the entire humanity. Adhibil Ba's, I entreat you, I beg you, remove or alleviate this difficulty. Washfi, grant shifa and cure. Anta shafi, you are the only one that gives cure. No medicine can cure. No doctor can cure. These are means that we use. Shafi is Allah. The one who gives cure is Allah. We see it on a daily basis, never mind how much or how effective medical science is purported to be. Two people go into hospital or go to the doctor with exactly the same sickness. Both are given exactly the same treatment. One person ostensibly is cured. The other person, the sickness worsens. Sometimes you hear a person has cancer, they gave him chemotherapy, one of the things that they use. Then we find in some people, Allah protect us, the cancer cells development accelerates. Then what they say? oh, it was a very aggressive type of cancer, it was like this, or it was like that. Someone else gets chemotherapy, the cancer goes into remission. From this, the important sabak and lesson is to learn that shifa and cure is in Allah's hands. No doctor or no medicine can cure. So ishfi, Ya Allah, grant shifa, anta shafi. You are the one that gives cure. La shifa illa shifau. There is no cure besides your cure. There is no cure besides your cure. And then we find in the latter part of this hadith an expression that is found in many of the du'as for shifa and cure that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite. We find this expression that is there. Shifa'an la yugadiru saqama. Shifa'an la yugadiru saqama. O Allah, I am asking you for that shifa and that cure that does not leave behind any sickness. La yugadiru saqama. Does not leave behind any sickness. Now before going into the explanation of that expression, I'm going to repeat the dua. It's very simple, very easy dua. If you ponder over the meaning is very, very effective, very clear. So we should try and learn this. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, particularly his family members, when any of them would be sick, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would pass his right hand over the body of that sick person and he would recite these words. Allahumma Rabban Nas. O Allah, you are the Rabb of humanity. Adhibil Ba's. Remove this difficulty. Washfi. And I ask you to grant shifa. Anta shafi. You are the only one. You are the only one that gives cure. La shifa'a. Illa shifa'uk. There is no cure besides your cure. And shifa'an la yugadiru saqama. I ask you for that shifa that does not leave behind any sickness. Have this yaqeen and conviction that if Allah wants to give you complete cure, perfect health, for Allah is not difficult. For Allah is very, very easy. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us that don't just ask for cure or the removal of a sickness. Ask Allah for perfect health. Remove any trace of that sickness or any other sickness that you are undergoing or experiencing. In other words, that shifa which does not leave behind any sickness. Before we carry on, the next hadith, obviously we're going to run out of time. Just to digress, today is the day of Jumu'ah, the last Jumu'ah before the month of Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala highlights in the Quran, the month of Ramadan, one aspect that is highlighted. Shahru Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, Alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran, in which the Quran was revealed. So Ramadan is Shahru al-Quran. Ramadan is the month of the Quran. And an exerted effort besides the Taraweeh Salah, which should not be viewed as an obstacle. We know Isha is fairly late because we're just coming out of the summer months and people are working, they may be tired, etc. But try and set up your timetable such that we don't just go through the motions, but we experience the beauty, the connection with the Quran. If you look at the lives of the Salafi Salihin very, very briefly, we find Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, it is mentioned, he used to complete 60 khatams of the Quran in Ramadan. 60 khatams. One narration comes that it was to be one in the day, one in the night, and one extra one for the whole month. So in other words, 61 khatams. Imam Shafi'i rahimullah, 60 khatams of the Quran in Ramadan. It's mentioned about Imam Malik rahmatullahi, that he would stop his dars in Medina Sharif, in the Haram, of fiqh or anything else, he would go into the masjid, he would open the Quran and he would say, La kalama ma kalamillah. He wouldn't even speak to people during Ramadan. He would say, how can I speak when I have the kalam of Allah in front of me? He would recite Quran the entire month. Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala, it is narrated that he would complete the entire Quran in one night in Ramadan. Like that, multitudes of incidents we find of this increased attachment in the month of Ramadan with the Quran. So we have to reconnect with the Quran in Ramadan. Simple, for example, it's Thursday night, last night, today is the day of Jumu'ah. At least, what is the section of the Quran besides Ramadan? The rest of the year also we're supposed to be reciting. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Man qara hamim ad-dukhan laylat al-jumu'ah ghufira lahu." That person who will read Surah Hamim ad-dukhan, that is in the 25th juz of the Quran. Hamim al-kitab al-mubin inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. Just in our 13 line famous or popular Quran, it's 4 pages. Takes a few minutes, depends on how proficient someone is. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, someone who reads Hamim ad-Dukhan on the night of Jumu'ah, ghufira lahu, Allah will forgive all his sins. Likewise, Surah Kahf, hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Sahih Muslim Sharif, whoever memorizes 10 verses from the beginning of Surah Kahf will be protected from the fitna of Dajjal. We find in many ahadith, we learn this, that reciting Surah Kahf is a protection from the fitna. Such a fitna that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Sharru ghaibin yuntadhar." It's the worst fitna that is coming for the ummah. An attack on the iman of the ummah. He said, recite Surah Kahf, Allah will protect you. Comes in one hadith in Bayhaqi, that whoever recites Surah Kahf on the day of Jumu'ah, a light will shine from him for him. Allah will give him noor from this Friday till the next Friday. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever recites Surah Kahf on the night of Jumu'ah, a light will shine from him right up till the Kaaba. We also hear from ulama, a light right up till the Arsh of Allah. So many benefits, rewards, but more importantly is to create this walwala, this shaghaf, this inclination, this attachment with the Quran. Quran is nur, Quran is hidayat, Quran is shifa. Quran is our link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran is the greatest miracle, living miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quran is Allah's kalam. And the proof of the love we have for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the proofs of it is our attachment with the Quran. So that should be throughout the year, not only Ramadan, but this concerted special effort should be made, particularly during the month of Ramadan. Allah give us tawfiq.